College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Upstart. Upstart has revolutionized how we borrow money by going beyond the traditional FICO score to offer personal loans, taking into account factors like job experience and education when determining your interest rate. Checking your Upstart rate is free, and it has no effect on your credit score. Your Upstart rate checks just 2 minutes, and if you are approved, you can get your funds as soon as the next business day. They make it quick and easy for you. The path to financial freedom can look awfully bleak when you have high interest debt. And if your FICO score isn't great, it can make breaking out of that revolving debt cycle harder than it needs to be. Thankfully, our sponsor, Upstart, is revolutionizing the process of personal lending. Hurry to upstart.com/hoops to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/hoops. And now that we've got you set for all your Upstart needs, the season is here, the waiting is over, it is finally time for college basketball. So, of course, what do we look at right now in terms of big picture themes in 18-19 when it comes to college basketball? I start with the strength at the top of the SEC. It was a breakthrough season last year for the SEC, getting 8 teams in the NCAA tournament. I see more teams right now in the SEC that look like they have the chemical DNA to play into the NCAA tournament second weekend. We know about Kentucky, we know about Tennessee, we know about Auburn, but LSU and Mississippi State, with Tremont Waters leading the way for LSU and Mississippi State bringing back their top 6 scorers from last year's team that went to the Final Four of the postseason NIT, those 5 teams look like 5 teams that could play into the NCAA tournament's second weekend. What about how many NCAA tournament bids for the Big East this season? That is something that will hang over the conference from tip to Selection Sunday. Why? Because we saw mass departures at key programs. Not just at Villanova, where 4 players went to the NBA draft. We saw mass departures at Seton Hall, where Kevin Willard lost 4 starters. We saw mass departures also at Xavier, where Karim Kanter, Trayvon Blewett, and JP McCura had all of their eligibility exhausted, and obviously the head coach Chris Mack left for Louisville. I see Villanova as an NCAA tournament team. I see Marquette as an NCAA tournament team. And as long as Ed Cooley is the head coach of Providence, you have to bank on the Friars making the NCAA tournament. Beyond that, in the Big East, nothing's for sure. Another big theme to look at: how does Virginia respond to the loss to UMBC? And you heard me on this podcast a couple of weeks ago. Virginia, to me, was a top 10 team entering college basketball without Braxton Key. With the addition of Braxton Key, Virginia now has somebody who can be on the floor to allow them to play small alongside Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter. And I spoke to multiple people in the past week who saw Villanova's scrimmage with Virginia, and they all came to the consensus that the Cavaliers have the chops, if they are healthy, to get to Minneapolis and finally break through and get to a Final Four. And another theme I think we should all keep an eye on right now: other non-power conference teams potentially getting to a Final Four. Nevada and Gonzaga are at the top of the list. other mid-majors to keep an eye on, obviously Buffalo, Harvard in the Ivy League, but Nevada and Gonzaga, two teams that will start the year in the top 10. Gonzaga went to, obviously, a Final Four national championship game in 2017, and then Nevada, led by Eric Musselman, okay, went to a Sweet 16 last year, have three of the best players in the country back in Caleb and Cody Martin, and also Jordan Caroline. Nevada will open the season Tuesday night against BYU in Reno, 11 o'clock Eastern tip on CBS Sports Network. I will be in the studio for the halftime. Now we look at the elephant in the room. The Champions Classic, the doubleheader that gives you everything you want on opening night of college basketball. Kansas against Michigan State, the Jayhawks, my number one overall team heading into this season. The big question I have in this game, how does Michigan State defend Dedrick Lawson, who looks the part, even though it was an exhibition game, that he's going to be a first-team All-American without hesitation, or at least on the cusp? Because you look at the way Bill Self develops big men, and you look at the big men that have come through Kansas's program. Here's a guy before he got to Kansas, averaged 19-9 at Memphis. Then you throw in a redshirt year with Bill Self. I'm curious to see, how does Tom Izzo defend Dedrick Lawson? Does he use Kenny Goins exclusively? Does he use Xavier Tillman? Does he opt to play smaller and try to have Dedrick Lawson chase away from the basket? And also, conversely, how does the freshman backcourt of Kansas, Devon Dotson and Quentin Grimes, match up with the experience on the other side of Cassius Winston and Josh Langford? And then you have the heavyweight battle with all the trimmings, Duke against Kentucky, the two blue bloods going toe-to-toe. And I have been very outspoken that I think Keldon Johnson, the freshman wing for Kentucky, is the best intangible player that John Calipari has had since Michael Kidd-Gilchrist anchored the national championship run in 2012 along with Anthony Davis. What I want to know is this. Who does Keldon Johnson guard of the big three of Duke? Is it R.J. Barrett? Is it Zion Williamson? Is it Cam Reddish? Because whoever is guarded by Keldon Johnson is going to be pushed and have to earn every inch coming up Tuesday night in Indianapolis. And also, the thing I've been pounding into the cement when it comes to Kentucky, this team has 9 starters. The role allocation is not concrete. So it's not really who starts the game, it's who closes the game for Kentucky. That's what I got my eyes on tomorrow night when John Calipari squares off with Mike Krzyzewski. Now, you're looking, when you're talking about programs like Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, and Michigan State, you're looking at programs that are regularly in the NCAA tournament. The same can be said about Cincinnati. Bearcats looking for their ninth straight appearance in the field of 68. And the head coach of Cincinnati, Mick Cronin, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. College basketball season about to kick off this week. Cincinnati will open Fifth Third Arena Wednesday night against Ohio State. And the head coach of Cincinnati is Mick Cronin. And he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Mick, your feelings as you get set to begin 18-19 with the Bearcats?
A lot of unknowns for the Bearcats, my friend, this year. A lot of returning players, but all in different roles. Everybody sliding the seat down. Everybody moving up a little bit, so to speak, in the food chain. Also, we get a new arena, and then we get to open with Ohio State, who we haven't played at home in 98 years. So a lot going on, just trying to make sure my guys stay focused on playing the game the right way and not get caught up in everything that's going on around the opening of our arena and playing Ohio State.
Well, that changes the dynamic at the start of the season. What is it like playing against not just a power conference opponent, but an opponent obviously in state with the cachet of Ohio State versus maybe playing just a mid or a low major?
Well, a couple things. One, I think Tom Izzo said it best. Says a lot of good things. That's why he's a legend. But you don't find out the truth about your team until you play somebody that's as good as you or better. So we'll find out a lot of things, both Ohio State and Cincinnati, Coach Holtman and I, about our teams that we need to get better at to have the type of season that we need to have or we want to have. So, that's the real answer to your question instead of, buying a home opener and easing your way in, which is a lot easier. That's why it's called easing your way in than coming in with a bang. But, you know, no matter whether you win or lose this game, you have to handle it and take it for what it is, just one game on your schedule, and get your focus back with your team. So that's a challenge for both Chris and I as coaches. But, you know, the game being played is tremendous for basketball fans in our region, obviously, in our state. And I'm just really appreciative that, you know, Chris wanted to play. And I think he sees that there's no negatives in a situation like that, in a game like this. You know, the recruiting aspect of, well, you lose to an in-state school. I mean, I think all that stuff's so overrated. Kids are going to go where they're going to go, regardless of the outcome of a game. You know, Ohio State's got a great program. They're a great university. And I'm just appreciative that Coach Holtman and their athletic director, Gene Smith, feel that the days are past where it would be negative or there would be a bad taste in your mouth if you lost to Cincinnati, that they view us as just as big time of a university and a program as anybody else in the Big Ten that they play. So I'm really appreciative of their new stance on the series.
And you're going to play them in a brand new arena. For people who haven't seen the new Fifth Third Arena, what can they expect when you take the floor on Wednesday night?
Well, for me, you know, it's different than the fans because I'm not the one gets to eat all the food. We obviously you get your normal arena stuff, and then but this place is unreal. We have it's basically like the Taste of Cincinnati. You got craft beer bars, you got local foods that are Cincinnati staples like Skyline and Frisch's. You got wings restaurants and things of that nature. So the amenities, the seating, the sight lines, everything is totally new and improved. It is now a basketball arena. It's now an event arena versus where it used to be an all-purpose facility that rolled back. So just going to be, for our fans, the game experience is gone from 0 to 100. It's that much better.
Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bearcats open Wednesday night at Fifth Third Arena against Ohio State. You know, Mick, obviously when you start a new season, part of what you do also is reflect on the one that just happened. Your team had another standout season last year, obviously suffered a tough loss in the NCAA tournament to Nevada. Where does that loss rank among the toughest that you've had to endure as a head coach?
You know what, John? Every year the toughest loss is your last game. You know, and I don't know, you know, I think it's hard for fans to understand this, whether I was at Murray State, we lost to North Carolina by two, in the last seconds of the game. It was the last game I coached at Murray State. To me, like, that's still the most emotional game of my career because we lost one of our best players to a broken foot in the middle of the game. I wanted that win so bad for Murray, Kentucky, and the people that hired me there to deliver them a big win like that. And it was the last game I ever coached there. So, but you have to understand, it's like driving a car. Everything's going great. You're in the NCAA tournament. Whenever you get beat, no matter if you were a 2 seed or an 8 seed, it's like you all of a sudden, bang, you drove off a cliff. And you got to go in that locker room, say goodbye to seniors. You know, I know for other people, it's on the outside. It's like, well, you only, at least you made the Elite Eight or whatever. It's still brutal, no matter what the situation is. So, you know, I know people want to hear how devastating it is, this and that. I mean, sure, you have a lead, and there's nothing you can do as a coach, and nothing you do as a coach works late in the game. It's not easy, but it doesn't really separate it. Because after a few weeks, you realize that you just went another year where all your seniors graduated, and you put two guys in the NBA, and Kyle Washington had a great resurgence to his career from being a bench player at NC State to a starter on a team that won 61 games in 2 years, and you got to be proud of your accomplishments.
You know, Mick, a couple of years ago during the 14-15 season, you had a health scare which forced you to miss the last 3 months of the season. You couldn't coach. You couldn't be on the sidelines with your team. How much did going through that experience give you extra perspective when you do have tough losses in the NCAA tournament? And as bad as you want to win, you realize that there's other things in life that could be worse, and obviously that is directly correlated to your health.
Yeah, that, and someday you'll experience this, John. You and I are friends. You know, being a parent is the most rewarding thing in life. You know, my life changed October 6, 2006, when my daughter was born. So, your job is something you love. And as I tell my daughter all the time, you know, she knows I'm focused and I work hard, but she's the most important thing. And we really fight in my household that her life is not my life. She enjoys that I'm the coach. She thinks it's neat. She's getting older. She's more concerned with her outfits and her hair now. That provides unbelievable daily perspective. But anytime you go through a health scare, and, you know, mine's kind of in the past for me, but we all have friends now that obviously Rick Pitino is one of my best friends in the world. And just what he's gone through. And the fact that I get to walk on a practice floor every day and work with a team gives me great perspective when my friend doesn't get to do that. And in modern times, John, I was told this by Jerry Wainwright the other day, who's a mentor of mine, great coach, as you know. If you gave two people 10 players and the talent was dead equal, most coaches, if the game was for $1 million, would pick Rick Pitino to coach their team. And he doesn't get to coach right now. So that gives me great, great perspective because of some people he hired, some decisions he made, and so I'm thankful every day for my job, John, trust me, for a lot of reasons.
Well, then let's turn the page and move forward, because we're not living truly if we're not moving forward. And when you think about Cincinnati moving forward, you think about Jaron Cumberland. What changes for him this year without Kyle Washington, Gary Clark, and Jacob Evans?
Well, you know, here's the best way I can describe it to you, my friend. That's why I tell my team, there's a difference between getting on the bus and going to a game and getting on the bus and going to a game, and you have to play well or your team's going to lose. It's like players, you know, coaches are the same. As you know, I coach in the Big East. So I saw Jay Wright go to the NIT, or I saw Jay Wright have a losing season and have no postseason. Jay Wright now, one of the best of all time. Jim Calhoun, same thing. So I've seen that. So players are the key, and you got to get your – well, for Cincinnati, we have some guys that are now – they got on the bus with Gary Clark, Jacob Evans, Kyle Washington. You could maybe have a bad game, but two of those four guys were going to make sure you got the win. Well, now I got some guys that are now in that position. That's what I mean by they've changed seats on the bus. It's just a new experience. We all go through it in college basketball. All programs go through it. And, you know, you continue to have success if you have guys that can fill those seats that make sure your team wins games. And Jaron Cumberland is obviously our best returning player. And the fact now is that it's going to be tough for us to win if he has a bad game. Now, he doesn't have to score 25 a night, but he's got to give us leadership. He's got to give us some scoring punch. He's a great passer. He can't mail it in. If he mails it in on a given night, we're going to be in deep trouble. So, but that's the same for Justin Jennifer now. He's in a different seat. He's got more responsibility. Kane Broome, Nasir Brooks, and Trey Scott. Those guys, they've all moved into the seats with the responsibility tag on them, and that'll determine our fate.
Man, you look at Jaron Cumberland, he's somebody right now who seems like the one known commodity coming back for Cincinnati. You also had a player in Sean Kilpatrick that was built somewhat similar to Jaron and, you know, carried a team to 27 wins when he was a senior in the 13-14 season. How does Jaron Cumberland at this stage compare to Sean Kilpatrick?
Well, he's a better passer, and it's really not even close. Statistics would tell you that. Jaron led us in assist in the second half of our season last year, pretty decidedly. So I would say that his his ability to use screens has to improve. He's a better pick-and-roll guy. He's better in a two-man game, where Sean Kilpatrick was he was a much better user of screens. And, you know, as a coach, you got to figure out what a guy's good at, what he's comfortable at, and try to improve him. But then at game time, you got to put him in situations that are going to make him accentuate his skill level. So, and here's another thing that you got to remember. Jaron Cumberland's in his third year at Cincinnati. When Sean Kilpatrick dominated and was first-team All-American, he was in his fifth year at Cincinnati, having redshirted as a freshman. So it's a lot to think that Jaron Cumberland can carry that type of load, and I don't think he has to. He has more help on this team from an offensive standpoint.
Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Mick, when you think about Cincinnati basketball going to eight straight NCAA tournaments, you think first about the defensive tenacity your teams play with. What are your thoughts right now on your overall team defense as you're getting ready to play a Big Ten quality opponent on Wednesday?
Well, we still got mistakes that we need to correct, and we've still got to build our wall, so to speak, between our opponent and the basket. You know, you can't play defense if you give up layups. Give up layups and you foul. It's easy to foul. It's hard to move your feet. It's hard to communicate. It's not a natural thing to communicate when you're tired. That's what I say about you got to be the reason we win. And I think fans think, well, who's going to score? I want to know, in a one-on-one situation, is Nasir Brooks going to move his feet against a very, very crafty post player and make the guy shoot over him? Or is he going to foul the guy? Or is he going to get over-anxious, get off balance, and give up a layup? So those are the things that we have been able to do that have given us eight straight NCAA tournament appearances and given us a chance to win games. Those are the things, the details that go into winning. You know, it's just no different than a football coach that would tell you that blocking and tackling are the most important things. Moving your feet, playing defense without fouling, not turning the basketball over are very boring things for guys like you to talk about on a podcast, but they're going to determine who wins games.
Well, you mentioned scoring, and that's obviously too part of the reason why you guys have won, you know, 30 more games in each of the last two seasons. Other than Jaron Cumberland, who has to give you consistent pop at that end of the floor for you to play in the NCAA tournament for a ninth straight year?
Well, I'm a big believer if we don't turn the ball over, we'll be fine. We got enough guys can score. The key is not turning the ball over. And when you don't turn the ball over, your offensive rebounding becomes your best friend. And it's a big weapon for us in the way we recruit. It's a big weapon for us in the way we run our offense. And it's part of our DNA, but you can't rebound a turnover. Now, to give you answers, I think it'll be different guys all the time. We have plenty of guys. Justin Jennifer is going to shoot the ball a lot more this year when he's open. Kane Broome, obviously, is a guy that's a comfortable scorer, trying to get him going. Rashawn Fredericks out of junior college. Keith and Williams, Trevor Moore are sophomores. So there's just different candidates. So we'll see how that all goes, but I don't really worry about it. If we don't turn the basketball over, I think we'll be fine.
Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Cincinnati and Ohio State Wednesday night at Fifth Third Arena. Just a couple more things here, Mick. What was the last time you had this many wild cards entering a season?
It's been probably about 4 years, because, you know, we – a couple years back when Octavius Ellis and Farad Cobb graduated, and that group of guys, you know, when Justin Jackson graduated, as well as Titus Rubles and Sean Kilpatrick, you know, we had three staples in our program, and we had to come in with new guys, Octavius and Corey DeBerry from JUCO. Gary Clark was a freshman. That was a year where we had to really – really make sure that we got better as the season went on. But this team's got more. We're really on the outside, we have new players. Logan Johnson's a freshman guard we haven't talked about. He's going to be a great player for us. And Rashawn's a JUCO guy. And, you know, we have some other freshmen that I think are going to be great down the road. But we're replacing more from within. We're just changing seats on the bus. And so it'll be interesting. But, yeah, since whatever they – I lose track of years. But Gary Clark's freshman year, we went in with a lot of unknowns.
You know, it's different, Mick, too, when you look at your schedule, because you had, you know, referenced earlier in this interview that, you know, you used to be in the Big East and there were built-in opportunities to move the needle for the NCAA selection committee. How different is it when you have opportunities to move the needle in November, December, and you have an unknown team, but you need to be ready to make sure you're cashing in when you have those opportunities?
Well, I think the committee has been pretty clear about and they've gotten more educated. The NCAA tournament committee on scheduling. And it's easy to sit there and say, well, you know, they need to schedule better. Well, it's hard. I mean, just read about how hard it's been to play Ohio State in the last 98 years. Just read an article. I mean, so, but I with that being said, I think that the committee still looks at, hey, you have a chance to schedule X amount of non-conference games. And if you, when you demonstrate, hey, we're trying to do that, we're trying to play the right schedule to show that we're a tournament team and give ourselves opportunity to prove that, that's the way to go. I think it's just proven. You know, I think you look at some teams that got left out last year that I think Nebraska finished fourth in the Big Ten, right?
Yep.
In the regular season. And didn't get in based off of that. So I think you got to be, you know, you have to be aggressive with your schedule. You just have to. And, you know, if you break even, it's better than going 2-0 against two non-tournament teams. So as a coach, you got to grind your way through it. And the backup part of this, John, is our league is way better. We have some new coaches. We have great coaching in the American. And I really think that the future of our league is changing dramatically. And the commitment to basketball around our conference is real. And our league in basketball is formidable and only going to get better each year.
Well, let's just talk about your league real quick. You know, we talked, obviously, you guys had a tough loss in the NCAA tournament, but Houston had Michigan, who went to the national championship game,
yeah,
beaten. And obviously, you know, they had a last-second three go in. But if you guys close out your game and Houston closes out your game, all of a sudden two of the 16 teams left playing are in the American Conference. Now, there's also a team that is off the radar a little bit nationally, but hasn't been healthy the last couple of years, and that's Central Florida. If Central Florida has all hands on deck, how high is the ceiling, do you think, for that team?
Extremely high. I mean, you're talking about a coach, Johnny Dawkins, who's changed the culture of their program. They're now about defense, toughness, and things it takes to win. And they've done it without playing with their best players for the last couple of years at the same time. They've had them, but they haven't had them all at the same time. Last year, we're the only team, I think, that played them with all their players that were healthy last year that played. Obviously, Johnny's son, Aubrey, didn't play, but we played them with Taco and BJ, but they were the only team that played them. They said, I think they only played one game with Taco Fall and BJ Taylor, which is crazy. Two all-league players. So they're really, really good. They can stay healthy. Another team that you and I always respect is Coach Dunphy's team at Temple. You know, I mean, because I'm a believer in guard play. And I think Shiz Alston's tremendous. I think Nate Pierre-Louis has got unbelievable toughness. And, you know, people say Quentin Rose is a pro. So they got, you know, their backcourt stacks up with a lot of people. And Shiz Alston's probably the best guard that doesn't get any publicity in our league. I mean, he's a tremendous player.
Final thing, Mick. The last eight selection Sundays, Cincinnati has popped up on the board. What is the biggest X factor for that happening a ninth time in 2019?
Well, you got to stay healthy, and obviously. For us, we've got to continue to to do what we do to win basketball games, which is play with tremendous toughness, take care of the ball, and defend and rebound. It's really not that complicated. Some teams, John, out there, they can turn it over and still win because they have an immense amount of talent to overcome mistakes. They have multiple lottery picks. But ultimately, those teams, it even costs them. You know, if you look at a Michigan State last year, Tom Izzo, somebody I think is one of the greatest of all time, but he was young. They turned the ball over a lot for a Michigan State team. I study other teams, and because they were so young, so it's just hard. It's hard to overcome not being able to defend and turning the ball over. So that's what I worry about. I'll let you worry about who's going to average how many points. We'll talk at the end of the year.
Fair enough, my man. Good luck against Wednesday. Enjoy the opener, and I look forward to staying in touch along the way.
You got it, JR. Thanks for having me.
We'd like to thank Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you that the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Geico. Did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, let's get now to our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Mike Diddy, and it's, John, who plays less defense tomorrow, Duke or Kentucky? I think that Kentucky will be further along defensively than Duke because Kentucky has returning personnel. Quad A Green, obviously PJ Washington, Nick Richards, and I can't say enough about Keldon Johnson. Buy stock in this kid right now before he plays a game. Our next question comes from Spider Rico, and it's, John, with Villanova losing four guys, will they still have enough to win the Big East or be in the mix for a one or two seed? With what I've seen right now, I think Villanova will be good, not great. I think until another team wins the Big East, you have to give Villanova the benefit of the doubt. I think you're going to see a little bit of a bridge year on the main line, but I think that Villanova, once they get into a rhythm where Eric Pascal is abusing opposing five men and they have four guys on the floor around him that can all make shots, Villanova to me is a team that I think is going to win between 22 and 24 games, but also not be surprised if they have double digit losses. Our next question comes from Reed Wilson, and it's, John, is there too much hype for Nevada? I don't think so. You got a Sweet 16 team, you got a world-class coach, and you've got three guys, Caleb Martin, Cody Martin, and Jordan Caroline, who all were a part of a Sweet 16 team as guys who graduated and exhausted their eligibility and opted to come back. They didn't opt to be a grad transfer like Reed Travis. They opted to stay. And if those guys were put on the market, they would have been recruited by every team in college basketball. You also add a McDonald's All-American and Jordan Brown. Nevada was expected to be good last year. They didn't have these types of expectations. Now, you look at the situation right now in Nevada, they're dealing with expectations, I think, you know, legitimate national expectations for the first time. And now that we've got you set for your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, palpable buzz in Charlottesville. And, you know, I touched on this earlier. You know, I am keeping close tabs on Virginia because I think that, you know, when you look at sometimes what happens in life, you are going to have to go through calluses first before, you know, you get to where you want to go. I gave you what, you know, I heard from people who saw the scrimmage with Villanova. Virginia, to me, is a team that, you know, everybody is obviously excited about Duke's recruiting class, and you should be. But the ACC goes through Charlottesville ever since Virginia added Braxton Key. And I think, you know, another thing you should keep in mind, too, this team also has some guys who could emerge. Jay Huff, Mamadi Diakite. We heard Tony Bennett say that. So buy stock right now in Virginia. Nugget number two, Lamar, the lead lion. If there's five better players than Lamar Stevens in the Big Ten this year, then that conference is in for a heck of the year. I watched Penn State, and it was only a charity exhibition, beat West Virginia Saturday in Morgantown. Stevens was the best player on the floor at 20-11, and Mike Watkins, the primary big man for Penn State, did not play. Nugget number three, Murphy's Law. What is going on at UCLA with injuries? UCLA's Cody Riley will miss at least 3 weeks due to a jaw injury per release. Now, that means that UCLA is starting the season right now without three guys, Cody Riley and Tiger Campbell and Sharif O'Neal, who are out for the season that they expected to have in their rotation. Steve Alford working that Rubik's Cube hard. Nugget number four, a name to remember. Several college coaches I talked to believe that Hofstra's Justin Wright Foreman may wind up leading the nation in scoring this season. He had three games last year with 35 or more points. Put that name in bold print. Nugget number five, a big first week. I don't know if there's a team in college basketball that has the opportunity to get multiple wins that are going to be better than what Washington has on the table. The Huskies are going to host Western Kentucky Tuesday night, and they're also going to travel to Auburn Friday. That's two big opportunities for Mike Hopkins and company. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Four on Tuesday, obviously the two in the Champions Classic, Kansas versus Michigan State, Duke against Kentucky, Florida State entertaining Florida, and then BYU at Nevada. And then Wednesday, Ohio State and Cincinnati, a big one at Fifth Third Arena. Would like to thank Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. College Hoops is here. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Have a great start to the season, everybody.